be clear from the outset, the IMF is probably the most credible source of information out there, but we still haven't got confirmation from the PNG government if the levels of debt they're reporting are accurate. So what we really need is more information from the PNG government as to their level of debt. The official line from the last budget was that debt would be reaching about 35 to 36% of as a proportion of GDP in 2015 and 2016. That's above the legislative limit of 35% that the PNG government has legislated upon themselves. The IMF has come out and shown that because of the nature of PNG, that there's so much debt that has been taken off the government books and put into places like state-owned enterprises and superannuation arrears, it turns out that public debt is actually much higher than what the government is saying. The IMF, once packaging all together this UBS loan used to buy oil search shares, state-owned enterprise debt and superannuation arrears, that is debt owed to superannuation funds from the PNG government, the IMF puts it up to about 56-57% as a proportion of GDP.
So does that mean Papua New Guinea is now officially in debt distress?
The overall level is not the most important aspect when you're talking about debt distress of the country. You really need to take a look at how much of repayments of this debt is being swallowed up in expenditure. And as we also have seen in budget documentation, official servicing of debt has already trebled from 2012 to 2016 and now accounts for more than 10% of government expenditure. And that's just the debt that they have acknowledged and they say is on the books.
So what impact is that debt having on both the budget and the current cash flow crisis, which is seeing people go without pay?
That's exactly right. So much money is now being funneled straight into debt servicing and debt repayment that the government actually has far less money to actually focus on the key components of governance, which is delivering of services, paying of wages. And it has really exacerbated this cash flow crisis that has been driven by, you know, spending just outside of their means for too long.
You say that the latest IMF figures also show that the government plans to host APEC in 2018 will cost 3 billion kina, or 1.5 billion Australian dollars. How does that sit with the budget and the cash flow crisis?
Well, that's another great question. Again, these numbers are just what the IMF is saying the government is planning on spending. The government has not released any information about the exact levels they plan on spending. In their budget documentation, they've only budgeted 80 million kina, which is roughly 40 million Australian dollars, to public expenditure of APEC. But again, as we stated earlier, a lot of this expenditure is parked outside of the budget process in state-owned enterprises. And so pulling all this together is where the IMF manages to get that figure from. I mean, this would have all been fine if commodity prices had remained robust and revenue started flowing in from the massive oil search and ExxonMobil gas project. But none of that money has eventuated. And so now the government is having to slash core services and it's having this cash flow crisis. It really throws into doubt whether the government has the ability or the money to finance the APEC that they were planning to deliver.
So just how much would the government have to cut services, say like health and education, to pay for APEC if it's going to cost 3 billion kina?
Well, yeah, to put that into perspective, the whole government expenditure of last year's budget for the next 3 years, for health is 3.5 billion kina and education roughly 3.7 billion kina. So that's the amount they're planning on spending on APEC is almost as much as they're planning on spending on health across the whole 3 years. When you look at the official budget documentation, you'll see as well that they've already planned on slashing services across the board. I mean, education expenditure is being slashed by 20% this year and 20% in the next. Health is being slashed by 1% this year, but then in 2017, it will be slashed by 40%. I mean, none of these numbers just really stack up as being credible in the context of finance, spending so much money on APEC.
The other big decision this month is on the refinancing of the loan that the PNG government has for its 10% stake in Oil Search. The share price has dropped a lot since the government first bought those shares, but should the government go ahead with the refinance or take the loss and use the money to fix some of these cash flow problems?
Well, again, I think there's so much politics tied up into that deal that I doubt the government would be willing to take a loss. I would personally be arguing that they should be trying to get out of this deal and get Woodside back interested in purchasing the share. That would be the most ideal. But at the moment, I don't see them moving in any direction but refinancing of the loan.